This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry. And the message for this month, October 2022, is taken from the Bible scripture found in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 10. Reading verses 34 to 36, where we will find these words recorded. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes or enemies shall be they of his own household." The title of this message is Peace on Earth? Not hardly. Think about this for a minute. Peace on Earth. Goodwill toward men. Love thy neighbor. What do these things have in common? They all represent what many believe was the mission of Jesus Christ as proclaimed by the angels that announced his soon coming. You can find that in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter number 2, verse number 14. Now, while this proclamation was true, it was not an announcement as to what Christ's mission was going to be when he got here. All you have to do is look at the subject verses and who is speaking, which, like I said, is Jesus Christ, and you will see a completely different picture than the one many people, including most Christians, walk around believing. If you will look at the subject verses, you will see that Jesus started out refuting this notion outright. In fact, he claims he has not come to bring peace, but a sword, meaning he has come to make war. So, with that being the case, you can begin to see a big problem with what most people believe his mission was and what he says. If anyone is going to define Christ and the work he was sent here to do, then obviously it would be him, right? But the question must be asked, what did the heavenly hosts mean when they made their proclamation? What they meant was that the end result or finished work of Christ would result in those things. However, his work consisted of waging war against the devil and his followers, defeating them, and putting them in a place where they could no longer be able to use their weaponry to destroy mankind. When this takes place, then and only then will there be peace on earth and goodwill toward men, because the author of all of that is wrong with this nation and in the world will have been done away with. However, until that time, it is an all-out war between the forces of evil and the entity that Jesus established here to fight that war, namely the church. And judging from what has been going on for hundreds of years, the church is having trouble upholding its mission because the devil has infiltrated the ranks of its leadership and sidetracked them into believing a lie as to what they are supposed to be doing. Most Christians believe that their mission is to show love towards your enemy, and that is true. However, it is not by compromising on your mission to do this, but to move forward in that mission, irregardless of what others may say. If that were not true, then the rest of the subject scriptures would be a total lie. Why do I say this? Because Jesus goes into detail as to what could be expected in this warfare when he makes it about as personal as you can get. He talks about not your enemies or your friends, but your immediate family. He did this to let us know that the most stringent, tiring, painful battle that the Christian is going to face will not be outside of their house, but rather inside. The reason being, when you get worn out battling outside your house, you can find comfort behind the four walls and the door of your own house, where you are among family. Well, Jesus just put that idea on the stove and set it on fire. If Jesus is letting us know what to expect in our houses, it should let us know that we are not to compromise with family members in order to show the love of Christ. And with that being the case, then you have to know what to do about those devils outside of your house. He even mentions that if you love your parents or your children more than him, you are not worthy of him. He then takes it a little further when he says, we have to take up a cross, or if we don't, we are not worthy of him. You can find that in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 10, verses, 37 and 38. What this does is set the stage for what it is that we can expect as we go about doing what he says. But the message that is coming out from far too many church leadership in this nation and around the world is everything but that. The reasons for this vary, but they all have the same goal, and that is to weaken the message of the church so as to make it easier for the devil to get control of as many souls as possible. The Bible tells us that the devil, aka the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You can find that in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, verse number 10. The whole idea of showing the love of Christ from the carnal or the human way of thinking is totally misunderstood. You have undoubtedly heard sayings like, love is never having to say you are sorry, or you will never hurt the ones you love. The message then is, quite simply put, you will never say or do anything that will cause those that you love to be hurt physically, emotionally, or psychologically. But it goes further than that. Since Christ directs us not only to love our friends, but to love our enemies, then that means we are to never say or do anything that causes them to feel the same way. This is the shrewd way of thinking that those that are blinded by the devil adhere to. But this is nothing new. All you have to do is go back and look how the devil twisted God's words to get Eve to disobey him, talking about God, and how he did the same thing to Jesus in the wilderness, and how he failed. Not only that, but throughout his ministry, Satan used the religious leaders to try to get him to deter from what he was supposed to do to no end. When none of these things worked, they set him up to be crucified. That is because they were thinking from the carnal perspective. And that is what is wrong with those in leadership that I mentioned earlier. Christ, on the other hand, and those that have his mind, realize that what we are required to do is to see things the way he, God, sees them, or Christ sees them, and that is spiritually. Now, the difference between thinking carnally and spiritually is best outlined by Christ. Where we find these words recorded, it says, for to be carnally minded or common sense minded or human minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You can find that in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 6. One brings death, which can be translated into misery, pain, suffering, and the like. That's the carnal mindedness. While the other, the spiritual minded, brings life, joy, peace, prosperity, and such. And as I said, this is where the problem lies. People are listening to preachers that are carnally minded, whose rationale is along the lines of human emotions, and to them, it makes perfect sense. But let's look at it from Christ's perspective, and that is spiritually. Using the same train of thought about love and not wanting to hurt anyone that you are called on to love. If I am looking at things spiritually and have put my total trust in the Word of God, then I know a lot of what the people are engaging is going to end up with them being cast into hell for eternity. My mission then is to do what I can to exhort them to change their lives so that they will not have to end up there. That means I have to confront them and let them know the truth about what they are doing. However, to the carnally minded that are led by the devil, aka the politically correct crowd, I am not showing the love of Christ. I am supposed to be compassionate, supportive, considerate, understanding, and all that. Cut to the chase. I am supposed to pat them on the back and make them feel good, knowing that they are going to end up missing heaven. Friends, from that perspective, according to Christ, that would put me on a path of missing heaven myself, as well as showing myself to be the worst type of friend that there is. Would you agree that an eternity in hell, where you will be suffering all of the pain of burning without being able to go unconscious like you do in this life when your brain says enough and you black out, is totally terrifying? If you do, then that is far worse than hurting someone's feelings about telling them the truth about themselves. The way you should look at it is, you are doing what is necessary to keep them from eternal damnation. That, my friends, is true friendship. Now, the problem is, those preachers that are carnally minded won't sit still for that, because that would mean that you are attacking them and, in many cases, their livelihood. That's because they are rewarded for what they are saying. Now, some would argue that what those of us that are spiritually minded have is our own interpretation of the scriptures. They would say there are thousands of different religious beliefs in the world, and how do we know that our interpretation is right? Does anyone remember what all Jesus did besides preaching? Think about it. What did Jesus do besides preaching? Well, he healed the sick, raised the dead, opened blind eyes, unstopped deaf ears, cast out devils, and a host of other miracles. Now, would you believe that that is what the church is supposed to be doing today? If not, read this command he gave to his disciples before he ascended back into heaven. Well, actually, he didn't. He basically reaffirmed them on that, but he first mentioned this in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 8. He told them to go out, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, as I said, that was a command to his disciples that, you know, while he was still ministering on earth. But once he had died and raised from the dead, he basically reinforced that command to the disciples. He told them to go to, Acts, the book of Acts, and find out that he told them to stay in one place until they would be endued with power, which was when the Holy Ghost was going to come down on them. Then they would have the power to go out and do these things outside of his presence, because he wouldn't be here on the earth. That was the beginning of the church. And that is the mission that the church was to have, that was supposed to be passed on down the generations to generation. But like I said, as time went on, that ability has slowly been weakened, and in some cases is even now in evidence, because the church has settled for just showing love and helping people go through their misery and things, not healing them, but you know, giving them money and food and stuff like that, and helping them feel good about themselves and the like. But anyway, getting back to the subject, now I want you to think about this for a minute. What do you think the response of those that hold to being politically correct or being carnal minded would be if they had to compete with an individual that demonstrated the power of God by doing these things that Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to do? What do you think the response would be? Well, for one thing, as far as the argument would go, it would be no contest. You wouldn't have to attack anyone's religious beliefs with words. Just demonstrate the power that Christ has given you, and all those people that are sick, blind, poor, deaf, lame, and such would be flocking to you and leaving those carnal-minded preachers behind. Of course, just like what happened to Jesus, the same thing will happen to you. You will be hounded to no end, and if that doesn't get it, you may get killed. Jesus knew this, but he continued anyway. Why? Because of his love for all of mankind. When any preacher uses the excuse that they want to show love and not hate, this is code for, I don't want to do anything that would cause me to have to be persecuted or possibly hurt by attacking someone else. Yet Jesus said in St. John chapter 15 and verse number 20, he said, "Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master." if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. What is the difference between the two types of preachers? One is a con man or woman with nothing but words to convince people to follow them, while the other has the power of God backing them up so that they are able to demonstrate what is true and what isn't. As the Apostle Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4, he says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words," notice words, "of man's wisdom," that's carnally minded, "but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Notice the word demonstration, showing something. They always say actions speak louder than words. That's where it goes down to. Now, all of this boils down to one thing, and that is, who are you listening to and why? You can tell by simply observing what they say and do. The late comedian Bernie Mac made an observation about the Reverends Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. He said, this is on YouTube. If you go on YouTube, I can't remember where it was. It had something to do with Bernie Mac on religion or church or something like that, or on Jesse Jackson, on Al Sharpton. Anyway, he said, as long as he has been listening to them, he never heard them say anything about the Lord. And he said he had a problem with that. These are leaders in the black community, yet everything they say is from the carnal perspective, because that is what pays. That is what makes them acceptable to all people. Every solution they come up with and support is due to what they think the people want to hear. With people like them, world peace is not part of the future in this life. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out the message. And once again, I'd like to say, hope that you got something from the message, and that may God bless you and your families real good as you prosper and be in good health, but only as you follow the word of the Lord. Thank you and good day.